Welcome you to tonight's Bible study as we begin a new series in the book of Galatians. The series is entitled, Don't Be Bewitched. In the times in which we are living, when so much is being fed into us through social media and various sorts, we can easily become dissuaded from the truth and the foundation of what we know to be true in God's word. And sometimes we get following personalities, sometimes we get following ideations, but they are not grounded and established in the word of God. And so we want to look at this series on the book of Galatians. And tonight our focus and the title is called, It Was for Freedom That Christ Has Set Us Free. Galatians 5:1 says exactly that verse. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Jesus said in Matthew 24, and I'm just going to read a few select verses, verses 4, 11 to 13, and 24 and 25. And it says this, Jesus said, see that no one leads you astray. Many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. And then Jesus ends with this, see that I have told you beforehand. He pre-warned us that there would be those that would be led astray. He pre-warned us to be careful that because there would be false Christ that would rise up. He pre-warned us to be careful of false ideas, of false religions, of false gospels rising up to take their place against what we know is the true word of God. And Jesus says, let it be known, I am forewarning you, this is going to happen. Jesus said this in his great prayer to his Father in John chapter 17, verse 17. He says, Jesus prayed, sanctify them in truth. Why? Because your word is truth. Jesus looked to the very word of his Father and he knew that God's word was truth. And he said, sanctify them in your word because your word is truth. In the time and era that we're living in, the word of God is in danger. It's in danger. Let's pause and pray. Father God, we thank you for these scriptures. We thank you, Lord, that you came to set us free. We thank you that, Lord, you have pre-warned us. And Father God, your Son himself prayed that we would be set apart in your truth. And so tonight, as we just endeavor to look at an overview of Galatians, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be in this time, that you would open up the eyes of our understanding to see in your word what you would have to say to us. And God, may we hunger and thirst for more of you. May we hunger and thirst for the true word of your gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. So the word of God is in a place of danger. Why? Because many people are wanting to infuse their gospel into your mind. They're wanting to infuse what they say is truth rather than bringing you to the word of God, rather than feeding you the word of God. And so with all the different ideations that are flowing around, and with all the different gospels that are floating through our social medias nowadays, we have to realize that the word of God and the moral standard which God has established for us is at threat. And many are hearing what their itching ears want to hear rather than going to the word of God. And so we find ourselves in this book of Galatians. Why Galatians? Because this is a group of people that easily were distracted from the path of truth. And we will see more as we go week by week. The book of Galatians outlines for us a relationship between the law of Moses and the new covenant of God with the church. Paul defends the true gospel. And he deals with a few questions that would naturally arise in the argument of law versus God's grace. And so as we journey week after week through chapter after chapter, there's only 6 chapters in the book of Galatians, we are going to see this unfold before us. So who wrote the book of Galatians? Well, when we look at Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, there is absolutely no argument or no confusion as to who wrote it. And it reads like this: Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Christ Jesus and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. So Paul is a writer. Nobody else is giving the honor here. Paul says, an apostle. He is the one who is writing this letter, and he is writing it to the churches of southern Galatia. He had started this group of believers. He had started these congregations when he was traveling on his missionary journey through Asia Minor. And so his close relationship with these believers is now being challenged. And he is writing this letter because he is grieved by some things that he has learned. And he is going to address them. You see, he understands from what he is hearing that they have deviated from the path of truth. And so now he has to come in like that loving father, and he has to bring correction to them. And so the tone when we start reading this book of Galatians is not like the tone in which he writes his other letters. He comes out, this is possibly one of his most angriest moments as he addresses the Galatians. And in Galatians chapter 6, verse 11, when he is beginning to wrap up his letter, he says to them this: see, with large letters, I am writing to you with my own hand. He is emphasizing to them, listen, this is from me. I'm making it clear to you. I am talking to you from this deep place of passion and frustration because I'm not liking what I'm hearing. I'm not liking how you guys have deviated from the truth. Very contrary to how Paul addresses his other letters. For instance, if we were to look at 1 Corinthians, he says this when he opens the letters to the Corinthian church: I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given to you, that in every way you were enriched in all speech and knowledge. That's a beautiful letter, a beautiful greeting that he gave them. 2 Corinthians, he said to them this: blessed be God our Father who comforts us in affliction. He's praising God for his comfort. Ephesians, he writes to the saints in Ephesus who are faithful. To the Philippians, he writes, I thank my God in all remembrance of you and your partnership for the gospel. To the letter of Colossians, to the Colossians he wrote, we thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you. To the church in Thessalonica, he says this in 1 Thessalonians, we give thanks to God constantly mentioning you, remembering your work of faith and your labor of love and steadfastness of hope. In 2 Thessalonians, he says, we ought always to give thanks to God, for your faith is growing abundantly and your love for one another is increasing. In each of these letters, he was greeting them with a tone of positive tone, with a loving tone, with an endearing tone. I'm thanking God always for you. And a word of encouragement, how I'm seeing you growing in your faith, how your love for one another is growing. And so we see Paul build building the people up in his openings of the letters. However, in the book of Galatians, he says this, grace to you, verse 3, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Grace and peace to you. He doesn't even build them up. He doesn't compliment them on their growing faith or their godliness. He just jumps right to the chase and he says, you know what? Grace and peace to you. He's saying, you guys need all kinds of grace. You know what? You all need a whole lot of peace too, because you've deviated. You've gone off the path. You've diverted yourself from what God has called you to. When we look at verse 3, it says, for grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 4, who gave himself for our sins to deliver. The original word here, that word to deliver, is a Greek word, E-X-E-L-E-T-A-I, exexlia. Well, anyways, you can pronounce it. What it's saying here, it's saying this. It's used to describe a taking us from that danger place, a removal from affliction. So when we read it, it's actually meaning that it is keeping us from the power of this age. So when it says for our sins to deliver us from the present age, there is a power in there keeping us from the power of this age. So it means that I am instantly transferred from that place of bondage to that liberty from bondage. I'm transferred from bondage to a place of liberty from bondage. I'm transferred from the kingdom of the evil age to the kingdom of salvation in Christ. But to understand why Paul is upset with the Galatians at this time, we have to go back a little bit and see what exactly is going on. Why is he so upset with them? Why is his tone a little harsh? Why is he coming down so instantly on them? We look at Christianity in its birth and in inception in Acts chapter 2, and Peter got up and he gave his eloquent message, and that day 3,000 plus or so were won to the kingdom of God, and they gathered in the temples, and then they went from house to house breaking bread, and each day the kingdom of God was growing. The Jews were coming into salvation. And so there was a great movement of God in Jerusalem. And Christianity was growing. Acts 13:47 says this, for so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And so from this verse, we see that salvation wasn't only explicitly for the Jews, but it was also for the Gentiles. Otherwise, it would not have been written here for us in Acts 13, that they would be a light to the Gentiles. And so the disciples had to bring the word of God not only to the Jews, but to the Gentiles as well. And so the gospel was for all humanity. It was for you and I, for those who were not of the Jewish race. Yet some of those that were in the Jewish law, some of the teachers of the Jewish law, could not accept this. They did not like it. And they wanted to make sure that the Mosaic law was continuing on. And they did not embrace this message of the gospel that it came, that they began to influence their teachings of the Mosaic law into the Galatian church. And they began to pressure them that they had to adhere to the laws of Moses. They had to adhere to what Moses, to the times of the Torah. That was what the law of Moses was also known as, the times of the Torah. When God set forth expectations for his people, that these expectations would distinguish Israel as the people that were set apart for God. They were set apart as a nation. They were a nation that belonged to God. But Israel couldn't keep the law. Nobody could keep the law. And this is why we needed grace to come in. And so when Paul finds out that these legalistic teachers are coming in and they're trying to bring the law of Moses in and they're trying to mix it in with grace and they're trying to infiltrate the Galatians, he's not happy with what he is hearing. And so this is where we get the letter that Paul writes to the Galatian church. And Paul wants to bring them back to truth. Paul wants to bring them back to the day of their salvation when they encountered the grace of God, when they tasted of God's goodness, God's grace in their life. Paul wants to bring them back. Bring them back to the fact that God sent Jesus, that Jesus lived the law, that Jesus died, and that he rose again, and that in doing so, he fulfilled all of the law. But these teachers, these false teachers, they had no appreciation for God's grace. They disregarded it. They disrespected it. They disrespected Christ's sacrifice, and they disrespected the work of the Holy Spirit. They had no regard for these things. And this made Paul enraged. And you can read for yourself the whole account if you were to go to Acts chapter 15, verses 1 to 30. You will hear the whole account of what disappointed Paul. Galatians talks about it when he in chapter 2, and we read of the account where Paul opposes Peter. But if you want to know the details, go back to Paul's missionary journey. Go back to the book of Acts and read it for yourself in Acts chapter 15. And here you can even read of all of Paul's journey, Acts chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16. And there you're going to see it all played out for you. But back to what we were talking about. These covenant people, Israel, they were set apart by the practices that God had commanded them. They were set apart by the practices that were commanded to them in the Torah, like the circumcision of males, like eating of the kosher food or observing the Sabbath. And these Jewish teachers were wanting to bring these traditions into the grace, into this new covenant that Christ had brought us through his death and resurrection on the cross. And Paul is upset. Paul is saying, wait a second, you can't demand that these Galatians go through circumcision. You can't demand these laws. And some of the Galatians, as they were listening to these false teachers, they were falling into their persuasions. And some of them even became circumcised as a result of the persuasion of these false teachers. But Paul says this in verses 6 and 7 of chapter 1. He says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there's another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Let me read it to you in the New Living Translation. Just listen to this. It says, I am shocked that you are being turned away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us or even an angel from heaven, who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preach to you. Did you catch that? Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us. Paul's saying even us, even those of us who are teachers, that's even fast forward into the year 2021, even those of us who have to teach the word of God, let there be a curse if we preach anything, any type of news, any type of gospel that is different from the good news. I say again, what we have, verse 9, said before, if anyone preaches any other good news than the one you welcome, let that person be accursed. Paul is upset with them. He's disappointed. Oh, Galatians, chapter 3, verse 1, he says, who has bewitched you? Who has just caused you to fallen off and gone astray? He says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Paul is concerned. Guys, don't be sidetracked from the truth of God's word. Guys, who has blindfolded you? Who has bewitched you? In another word, who has changed your mind to believe anything other than the truth? Let that person be a curse. So with Paul giving this summary of the gospel, he went so far as saying that the Galatians were deserters of Christ. They were turning from the truth of the gospel to something that was contrary, something that they had not received when Paul first shared with them in those early days of his missionary journey. So he gives a message here. Now we will begin to just overview, summarize chapter 2, 3, 4, and 5, and 6. He gives a message about the crucified Messiah. He then argues that this gospel is what creates a multi-ethnic people. This Christ, this Jesus came not for one race, not just for the Jewish race. He came for every race. He came for every ethnicity. Why? So that he could show the unity of the Father, the unity of Christ that he wanted for his church. Paul defends the authenticity of his message. He says, look, I'm apostle. I am sent from God. The word apostle, and we'll look back more into this next week, the word apostle means the sent one. He says, God, I'm not sent from man. I'm not positioned here because of men. I am sent here from God. And so he's validating, look, what I am sharing from to you is from God. I've been commissioned by the risen Lord himself. I've been commissioned to share this message, to go to the non-Jew, so that they could hear the message of Jesus Christ. And so we see that he addresses Peter and James, and he told them that I'm not going to require the non-Jews to now be circumcised. That would be useless. That is not what they've been called to do. I'm not going to expect them that they should eat kosher meats. That's not what the gospel is about. If you go back to chapter 15 of Acts, you will see he addressed all those that were gathered there. And he said to them, it's wrong for us to demand of these new Christians that they should follow the Torah, that they should follow the law, and that they should be circumcised. That's betraying the gospel. That's betraying why Jesus came. That's betraying the very fact of why he came to the earth, why he died on the cross. It's betraying the fact of why he was risen from the dead. I'm not going to feed them that. I'm not going to feed them that law. It is not by the law that we are justified. We are justified through faith. We are justified through our faith in Christ. Paul says, no, we can't give this. No one could be justified by observing command. No one could be justified by observing the law. I'm not going to feed them. We can't put that expectation upon them. Listen, you need to understand this. God's family is not for the elite. It's not for the rich. God's family is not for the well-established. It's not for the multimillionaire. It's not for the healthy. God's family is for all, whether we are rich or poor, whatever race we are from, whether we find ourselves in a sin state or whether we find ourselves looking to God for His grace. God's family is for us all. It's an all-inclusive. It's for every race and creed, for all people who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who have believed in faith that God sent His Son to be that propitiation, that God sent His Son, that He would be that bridge, that where sin came and brought the divide, that God's Son came and brought the forgiveness that unites us with God, that brings us the freedom, that reestablishes us with right relationship with God. And Paul was not about to let any Judaizers, any false teachers of the law come in and infiltrate his people. And so he was going to address those at Galatians, and he was going to hit them hard and made sure that they understand, why are you deviating? Why are you going off the path? Paul said in Galatians 2 and 20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. What? Who loved me and gave himself for me. So the reason that anyone can be right with God is not because they have observed the law, not because they have gone through a ritual of circumcision, not because they have followed a certain menu of eating, not because of any of their acts or works. They can only come through right relationship with God or belong to Jesus' family through their faith. It's only because of what Jesus did on the cross. Not anything that you and I could do. I could seemingly live the most perfect life. I could abide by every commandment that is listed in the Ten Commandments. Seemingly abide by every commandment. I in my flesh, my mind could think that I'm abiding by these commandments and yet fail to experience that grace that comes with knowing that I can only be justified to Jesus, through Jesus, through the act of what He did on the cross, no matter what my works may do. And so when we understand what Jesus accomplished on the cross, it has huge implications, because now we can see that I'm a part of God's covenant family, not because of what I've done, no, but because of what Christ has done. And so he continues on into chapter 4, and he says, he speaks of Abraham's faith and being heirs of Abraham, and that it was how Jesus came through Abraham's bloodline and what was promised to Abraham. Why did God give the laws, the law of the Torah to Israel? Why? So that the law of the Torah was given to Israel, and it was promised to Abraham, but the law was given much after Abraham was promised that he would be the father to many nations. The law didn't come right next to Abraham's promise that he would be the father of many nations. No, the law that was given on Mount Sinai was given many years later. But why? It was so that we would have that same faith as Abraham believed God. It was counted to him as righteousness, that we would fall into that same faith place as Abraham, that we would fall into that place of believing that if God said that he sent forth his son, and that if his son came and walked this earth, that the word of God became flesh and dwelt among us, that if we would believe that word was Jesus and that word was truth, and that we would believe in all that he did in dying on the cross and rising from the dead, that we would experience that freedom in Christ. It's not that we are looking to observe the laws of the times of Abraham, but we are looking to apply the faith as Abraham had. We are looking to believe as Abraham did. See, what the law does during the times of Israel was it magnified their sins. The law said, here's a law. Oh, you broke that law. Well, then there's that sin. And that sin was like a magnifying glass. So if it was, thou shalt not commit murder, and someone killed a neighbor or killed someone, then it would be recognized. Their sin, there would be a magnifying glass upon their sin. But there was nothing that they could do to be free. The sin exposed how sinful of a human nature the children of Israel were. It pronounced Israel guilty. It pronounced everybody along with them that were following the law guilty. We needed there to be someone that would come and bridge that gap and restore us in right relationship with God. And so Jesus is from the offspring, the lineage of Abraham. So once the Messiah came, he fulfilled the purpose of the law on Israel's behalf. Jesus was that faithful Israelite of God who truly loved him. He died so that he would take the curse upon him, the curse of not being the curse and consequences of our sin. Every time Israel failed, the only one that could bring that bridge, that could redeem that relationship, was Jesus Christ. He took the curse upon himself, and he brought redemption. So Paul says, look, requiring the Torah, requiring these non-Jews to observe the Torah, that is not necessary. That is not right. That is completely wrong. It makes no sense. It would be like saying that Jesus came and he didn't accomplish anything. It would be like saying that what Jesus did had no power or persuasion over us. It was for nothing. Paul said, no, this is not why Jesus came. He came to fulfill the law. He came to fulfill God's promise and to deal with our sins. When we look at the Torah and when we look to observing laws and we look to fulfilling the right works in order to have right standing with God, what we are essentially doing is neglecting everything that Jesus did on the cross. We are neglecting and rendering powerless everything that Jesus came to accomplish. Paul responds then there in chapters 5 and 6. What happens when we walk into that grace place? What happens when Jesus comes in with his life-transforming work, when the Holy Spirit does a work in our lives? Paul now transitions from that place. Listen, we're not following the law. We're not observing it in order to be in right standing with God. We're coming into that place of justification. We're coming into that place that we are justified in Christ, just as if we never sinned, and only Jesus could have us in that place. But now, once you are in that grace place, once you have encountered Christ and the finished work of what he did on the cross for you in bridging your relationship and making you in right standing with God, the transforming work that he does in your life, Paul now begins to point out in chapter 5. He begins to bring out the key of the Holy Spirit and the working of the Holy Spirit And you see, when we don't have the Holy Spirit working within us, what happens is we're doing things in our own effort. And the things that we want to do, we don't do. And Paul fell into this in Romans chapter 7, verses 15 on through to chapter 8, verse 3. And I'm just going to read it in a different translation than what's going to come up. I'm going to read it in the Christian Standard Bible. It'll come up on the screen in the English Standard Version. But listen to this. He says, "For I do not understand what I'm doing, because I do not practice what I want to do, but I do what I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, I agree with the law that it is good. So now I am no longer the one doing it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my flesh. For the desire to do what is good is with me, but there is no ability to do it. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but I practice the evil that I do not want to do. Now, if I do what I want to do, I am no longer the one that does it. But it is the sin that lives in me." This is what happens when we're living by a law, when we're living by works. "So I discover this law. When I want to do what is good, evil is present with me. Verse 22, "For in my inner self I delight in God's law, but I see a different law in the parts of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and taking me prisoner to the law of sin in the parts of my body. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God." Who brings the rescue? Who brings the rescue from the law? Listen to what Paul says. "Thanks be to God, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind, I myself am serving the law of God, but with my flesh, the law of sin. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, since it was weakened by the flesh of God, God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh as a sin offering." What's the summary of that? When you are working in the acts of your flesh and you're trying to do things that are right, your flesh isn't able to do what is right. You keep doing what you want, what you want to do, what you know before God you ought to do, you're not doing. But when that transforming work of Christ comes to work within you, then it is another picture. What happens? He condemns sin in the flesh by sending his own son. This is where the flesh is controlled by the Spirit of God. When Jesus was sent, he sent to absolve that sin in your life. Why does Paul have such a conviction when he's speaking to the Galatians? Why is he being so forceful? Because he understands the scripture. He understands what Christ did. He understands what Christ did because he came into an encounter with that Christ. He came into an encounter with that power of God when he was on the road ready to persecute the church. And until he came into that transforming work of God in his own life. And so now he's enraged in his spirit. He is grieved when he sees this young church of Galatia, and they are being distracted and they are being diverted from the truth, and some of them are even coming unto the persuasion and the powers of these Judaizers, these teachers, and they're giving in to the works of the flesh, and they're giving in to the observances of this law with hopes that they will be honoring God. And God, and Paul is like, no, stop it. If you want to do do what pleases Christ. It's about your flesh being surrendered to him. I know what I'm talking about. In these verses, Paul is saying just that, what I want to do, I don't do. But Jesus came to bring that correction. Galatians 5 verse 1 says, and we read it already, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm. Stand firm. Stand firm therefore, and what? Don't submit to the yoke of slavery. What is the yoke of slavery? Believing that you had to adhere to the law. Believing that you had to follow the law in order to find yourself in right standing with God. We've seen up to this point that the problem that confronted the Galatians came in by means of the arguments of the Judaizers, these false teachers, suggesting that to live by grace and freedom was to live a lawless and degenerate life. That's what the Judaizers were teaching. But Paul made it clear. Justification, the act of living through faith. Justification is that freedom comes from Christ. Freedom comes from Christ. We can only be justified through him. Don't give in to that old bondage. Don't give in to what these Judaizers only knew. They only knew the Mosaic law. What they are doing is they're bringing in their old traditions, their old ways of living for God, and they're trying to mix their old ways with the gospel, and they're making a muck. And Paul is saying, no, it's justification. It's your faith. It's your faith in what Christ did that justifies you. So Paul goes on to contrast this old lifestyle, the habits of the old lifestyle, and they're not obviously the habits of the new lifestyle. And he brings in the habits of the new lifestyle of when the Holy Spirit comes in and transforms you, when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you. And he says in the latter part of Galatians 5, verses 22 to 26, he says, is the fruit of that Spirit. When the Spirit of God comes to dwell within you, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another. Paul is saying, look, the old way of living, that's the works of the flesh. But no, when you come to experience Christ, when you come to encounter the God that I spoke to you about, when you come to encounter and taste of his grace in your life, oh, you know what the fruit of that is? The fruit of that is love. The fruit of that is joy. The fruit of that is peace. The fruit of that is kindness and goodness. The fruit of that is faithfulness. You will be faithful to the God that has called you. You won't be deviant. Let the Spirit of God work within you, that transforming work. This is the Jesus way of life. This is how we walk when we walk in step with Jesus, in step with his Spirit. He desires to transform us. He desires to transform us into the children, into the family of God that he came for, that he desires to develop within us love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, self-control. The fruit isn't automatic, Paul says. He says it requires cultivation. How do you cultivate it? By living in a relationship with Christ, by praying, by talking, by reading the word. You see, those early Christians, what did they do? They gathered in the temple, and when they were in the temple, the disciples would share with them the word of God. They would share with them the truths, and then they would go from house to house sharing and breaking bread. And so how do we cultivate that? We cultivate our walk with God by going to church. We cultivate that walk of God by reading his word. We cultivate our walk with God by getting together with others or talking with others of the word of God and growing in the understanding. We don't just think by osmosis. You go to church one Sunday and there you go, bam, you're transformed. No, you have to cultivate that walk. And you have to grow in your knowledge of who Christ is. That means, you know what, some of the old things that you used to do, some of your old habits, they need to be pruned off. Because if you don't prune them off, they will drink out of anything that is going in. And soon your old habits will overtake and you will be betrayed. Like the Galatians, instead of cultivating their walk, some of them easily were persuaded. The Holy Spirit comes in and he reshapes us and he reshapes our mind and he reshapes our hearts and he makes us into a people who love God and he makes us into a people who will share what God has done in our lives with others. Paul says, look, the law is good on one hand, but the law will not bring you grace on another hand. So Paul concludes, he says, look, we're not going to expect any of the Christians, the non-Jewish Christians, to be observers of the Torah. We're not going to expect them to go through circumcision. If we do, they're missing the point. Paul then brings the book of Galatians to a very strong ending. And if you go there in Galatians chapter 6, verses 11 to 18, he says this, and I've already alluded to verse 11. He says, see with large letters, I am writing you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Paul is saying, look, you're not going to have to follow this law of circumcision. No, it is not about that. But it is about following Christ. I'm writing this in my own hands. I want you to understand, it is me talking to you, Galatians. I'm wanting you to get the message. You have to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Walk in the fruit of the one who is living within you. Don't be deviated. Don't be put off course. We're going to break this down more from week to week, chapter by chapter. There is so much. It's just a broad overview. But you come back next week and you're going to see as we go chapter by chapter, there is so much more that we can glean and understand in what Paul is saying, because we could personalize it. We can personalize it to our own lives, and we could just walk in that focused relationship with God. God, I'm setting my course straight on you. Paul even said to the Galatians, you were running so well. You were running so well. Who cut in on you? Who cut in on you and got you off course? Listen, tonight we can focus ourselves. God, I want to live for you. God, I want to honor you. I'm not going to be caught up, okay? I read my Bible today. Okay, check mark. I went to church today. Okay, check mark. Okay, I prayed a prayer. Okay, check mark. We're not living by a law, but we're living in a relationship with God. We're talking to him as we're driving to our work. We're talking to him as we're going about our daily affairs. We're walking in a relationship like you do with your spouse or like you do with your family. When you see them, you're talking to them. And how does your relationship grow with your family? But that you talk with them. And as you are having continued fellowship with them around the table, around a meal, so likewise we want to have fellowship with the Word of God. And we want to take the Word of God in. And we don't want to be as a church of Galatia that was easily diverted off path, that easily got distracted. Look, there's so much that the world wants to feed you today. There's so much that the ideas that are on television that they want to feed you to distract you from the truth of God. But stay planted in his word. Join us next week. Don't miss this study because you could miss the very essence of what God wants to say to you. I want to close by this. What was the big idea of Galatians? Paul had to preach to them. And he made it clear that their disloyalty to anything other than what God wanted, their disloyalty to God's truth and his grace would distract them from his path. But he said, no, I want you to know it's through justification. How could we apply this? Let's not give in to false teachings. Let's not give in to false ideologies. Listen to what the Message Bible says about Galatians 5, 16 to 26. Let it embed itself into you as we wrap this up and pray. He says this, my counsel is this, live freely, animated and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsions of selfishness, for there is a root of sinful self-interest in us that is at odds with a free spirit. Just as a free spirit is incompatible with selfishness, these two ways of life are antithetical, so that you cannot live at times one way and at times another way, according to how you feel on any given day. Why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit and so escape the erratic compulsions of a law-dominated existence? It's obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket goods, magic show, religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all consuming yet never satisfied, wants, a brutal temper, an impotence to love or be loved, divided homes and divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. I could go on, Paul says. This isn't the first time I have warned you. You know, if you use your freedom this way, you will not inherit God's kingdom. But then Paul goes on by saying this, but what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Legalism is helpless. it's helpless in bringing this about. It only gets in the way. Among those who belong to Christ, everything connected with getting our own way and mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessities is killed off for good, crucified. Since this is a kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail in our lives. That means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better and another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each of us is an original. Each of us is an original. Listen, you have to understand, God sent his Son for your salvation. There's no other way. There's no other faith that you can come to and be freed from the bondage of slavery that holds you to a life, an old life, an old man that was given to his old desires, as we just read. The only freedom that you can encounter is through Jesus Christ. And Paul makes that clear. Journey with us week after week, and you will see this book unfold, and it will come alive within you. At times it's going to convict you, and at times it's going to liberate you. But journey with us. Don't miss a week. God has a special message for you. Father God, we thank you for this book of Galatians. We thank you for the message that you have in it for us. And we pray each week as we unpack every chapter, God, as we look verse by verse into what you are saying, may your truth come alive within us. And Lord, if there's a side of us that's following the laws of man and following after the traditions of the world, then Lord, course correct us and bring us back into right standing with you. Lord, may we hear your Holy Spirit speaking to us about, Lord, your fruit and the kind of lives that we should live when we are living the transformed life. So, Father God, I commit this study to you, and I pray that you would have your way in our lives and through our lives, that we would know beyond a shadow of a doubt we are justified only through faith in you and not any other way. Be glorified, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Well, God bless you. Thank you for joining with us. Be sure as you close out tonight, go and register for Sunday morning service. We love to see your smiling faces. It's such an encouragement to greet you and fellowship with you week after week. If you haven't joined us on a Sunday yet, you're missing out. So don't miss this Sunday. As well, as you know, Pastor Dino is live every morning on Facebook and YouTube. You check us out there and you will hear an exhorting word to build your faith for the day. God bless you. See you again next week. And don't miss this study in Galatians. It'll be liberating.